back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden, and Draven. For the next 3 hours, we shall talk sports and some other things as we get you through the first day of December. Man, winter snuck up on us.
It's December already?
I feel like it was 66 degrees like on Thanksgiving, right? Or am I tripping?
I think you're right.
Now here we are with snow on the ground. Had to bring out the winter coat. Got to dust the boots off.
Yep.
Now I got the wool socks on, which I feel like is overcorrecting because now my feet are sweating. I feel like I really overcorrected there. But when I take my dog out, I just wear like slippers. And last night I went out with thin socks and it was cold. So I was like, I need to put my warm socks on. And then I didn't change out of them. So now my feet are sweating, which is really going to get on my nerves during the show. How are you guys today? Thumb up from Hayden, Cameron.
Besides the snow part, I'm doing pretty good. Not a big snow fan, but...
Not a big snow fan myself.
Luckily, it wasn't a ton, I guess. I don't know.
No, it was just enough to make people think it was snowing. Yeah. Although some places got hit worse than others. You said there were 6 inches where, Hayden?
In the Tri-Cities, there was a lot of snow. Close to George, North Carolina.
Gotcha.
Up East Tennessee.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What we have last night? Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
Ugly game. Carson Wentz stinks. One of the all-time gambling moments.
Oh, yeah. What a bad beat for Seahawks bettors. Oof.
Felt like a proper end to the first month of gambling. There might be a lot of you who are just now dipping your toe into sports gambling now that it's legal. Shout out to FanDuel. Nice way to end the first month of here's what happens a lot of the time. And people, you know, maybe don't pay attention to them plays the way that others do. If you've been gambling for a while, you were already prepared for, oh, well, here they go. That kick return set them on the 40-yard line. There's plenty of time. They just got to get in, range for a Hail Mary and not out of the woods yet. You're probably yelling with the Seahawks, like, hey, just go for the first down. Don't kick the field goal. Just try to get the first down. End it. And, at the gun, you get beat with a Hail Mary and then a two-point conversion to make it a six-point game. The spread was 6.5. And it felt like you were on the right side. It's frustrating when you're on the right side like that and then end up a loser. It's nice if you're an Eagles backer, though.
Yep.
It was nice of Carson Wentz to show he had some type of pulse. All it took was just a Hail Mary. Down two scores. And then what we have here in Tennessee, we had our biggest commitment, decommit.
Yeah.
Tennessee's biggest player.
We didn't want him anyway.
Nah, I think we did. I think we all wanted him a lot. I think he was like the only guy in this class we really wanted. A five-star linebacker. From, basically Miami. Opa-locka, is that Miami? I mean, it feels like it's just...
It sounds like somewhere down there by...
The name of his high school is Miami Central, so I imagine it's like smack dab in Miami. I don't know why it's called Opa-locka on his recruiting profile. But either way, probably at our second biggest position of need. Number one being quarterback. But, I mean, I think you got somebody coming in next year. Surely between Salter and Bailey, like one of these guys will be good at quarterback. Surely. Although, who knows? But you need linebackers, desperately. You need guys who can play linebacker, especially if they can do both things, stop the run and cover receivers and tight ends and running backs. Terrence Lewis was one of the guys that really got the start. He was the first domino, I guess, that fell in your Tennessee's recruiting success, which has completely subsided. That feels like 3 years ago. When Tennessee was dominating the recruiting trail. Tennessee is now down to, I believe, 13th on 247.
Yeah.
Which isn't good when you consider that they have a full class. Like, there's really only one way to go, and that's down. Like, am I wrong? Well, are we in on any other big guys at this point? Like, no. They're all done, right?
No, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if Nylon Green's committed yet, but I mean, he's going to go to Georgia. Smail Mundon went to Georgia.
Yeah.
And Mims went to Georgia, so.
I thought, like, the last they thought that Nylon Green was maybe going to come in here. But either way, he's not going to replace Terrence Lewis. And, like, sure, you could try to flip a couple guys, but I'm just saying, like, uncommitted targets, you don't really have any. So it seems like Tennessee is pretty much capped out at, like, 13th.
Especially when we took the JUCO running back again.
Yeah.
That was probably a sign that we were going to lose somebody. Which, a lot of people have thought this guy's going to decommit for a long time. Trey's been talking about it for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it was the people I talk to that follow recruiting, you know, the people that I lean on, I guess, for recruiting knowledge, basically all said, like, if he gets the Miami offer, he's going to go to Miami, mm-hmm. type of thing. Like, but basically that Miami wasn't necessarily sure they want to take him because of some off-the-field stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got that under control. Maybe Diaz doesn't care. Maybe it's not Miami. Maybe it's just somebody else. Maybe it's a different FCC school. Maybe he looks and says, hey, this coaching staff sucks and they might not be here and I got to do what's best for me. Maybe Tennessee's check already cleared and you can't ask for refunds and he wants to double dip and get another $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000. I don't know. Same with Dylan Brooks, right? Like, don't people think if he gets the Auburn offer, he'll be there? Like, Tennessee's best commitment now, the only other top 50 player they have. A defensive end from Alabama. Don't think if he gets the Auburn offer, he's gone. That'd be pretty tough if you had no top 100 recruits on a staff that isn't coaching well, that you're like, well, at least they can recruit. And you're like, oh, well, maybe they can't do that either. Now, I don't envy their position right now, right, in terms of having to recruit during a 2-6 season.
Mm.
When everyone hates you. Like, it's tough to recruit right now. I don't envy their position. Although, like, whenever you look and say, we have to keep a coach because of stability, it doesn't look very stable right now.
Especially when you have ESPN paywall articles coming out that your assistants are going to fall on the sword for the head coach.
That come out today?
I guess the Blitz boys were talking about it this morning. So,
okay.
Yeah. Doesn't really make you feel good if you're a recruit that your position coach is going to be out at the end of the year to save the head coach's job.
What position coaches can do that? Like, there's nobody. Like, I keep saying this, and, like, it's the truth, and whether or not they want to admit it's the truth, that's up to Philip Fulmer, I guess. But, like, we are firing Jeremy Pruitt. It's going to happen. It's just a question of when. Do you wait until after next year when you squander a pretty good schedule? Do you wait till 2 years from now whenever he follows up an easy schedule with a tough schedule and probably goes, you know, wins 5 games and you have given him plenty of time and you have completely just wasted another 5 years? Or do you do it after Florida beats you by over 20 points and embarrasses you on your home field and you have another blowout loss and lose some more recruits and have nothing to show for it this year. And you go in to 2021 feeling a lot like you did in 2017 where you got a lame duck coach and the recruiting is going to suck and the team's not going to perform and you're going to have another really bad year.
Yeah.
And then you set yourself further behind the eight ball. Like, make no mistake about it, though. Go ahead, jot it down. I mean, it's a guarantee December 1st. I would bet a lot of money on it. Jeremy Pruitt will be fired here at the University of Tennessee. Yeah. Does anybody disagree? Like, no. Is there anybody that disagrees?
Some point, yeah. Don't think so at this point.
No other school is coming to hire him away. That's not going to happen. He's not going to retire. And he's not going to win here enough to leave on his own terms. He's not going to win here enough to make people happy. Like, you're going to have to fire him. It's going to happen in the next 3 years. So it's not even like one of those long-term things. Like, well, yeah, of course, everybody gets fired eventually. You stay somewhere long enough. He's going to get fired in the next 3 years. Very, very confident about that. I don't call anything 100%, I guess, so I'll call it 99%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true. I feel like I probably called something 100% before. But like at 99% sure he is going to get fired. Let's just call it 100. He's 100% getting fired.
I was about to say, it might as well be 100.
No, he's 100. It's 100. He's getting fired. Might as well be. Within the next 3 years. How long do you wait? Latest reports from the guys over at VolQuest make it seem as if he is most likely making it through this year, that Fulmer is going to put out a vote of confidence for him in the coming days.
Sounds about right.
Now the question is, do you give the vote of confidence before or after the massacre on Saturday at the hands of your division rival?
Whew. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Do you do that before or after? If you do it before...
I would say before is scary. I feel like cause you get blown out, then you're like, okay, yeah, about that.
Well, I would rather even do it before than after. After, if you wake up Sunday morning after a shellacking and Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts dropping 40 points on your head and taking their foot off the gas in the third quarter, you know, at the end of the third quarter, if you wake up on Sunday and about 11 o'clock you get the vote of confidence and the statement from Pruitt and Fulmer that it's been a rough year, but that they're going to, you know, they're going to have to reset and they're have a lot of confidence they can get this right, that's going to feel like the low point of the program if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to feel like rock bottom. If it comes out before and Florida embarrasses you, there might be some wiggle room there. So if I'm Fulmer, I don't know when I do it, because I can tell you're going to get a lot of people angry if it comes out on Sunday.
Oof. He shouldn't do anything. He should just be like, we'll reevaluate after the year.
Maybe he won't. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll just sit here and be quiet. But, I mean, like, is it okay just to be quiet? Because you have a bunch of people just, like, I mean, openly calling for the guy's job. Do you want to know what Philip Fulmer thinks? Do we all have our minds made up about what Philip Fulmer thinks? I mean, I think we'd all probably assume that the old ball coach is going to be a little bit more lenient with his coaches just based on his entire career of how he handled his coaching staff.
Yep.
And his feelings that he didn't get a fair shake and he could have turned things around at Tennessee, just needed more time and blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
I just feel like it's tough for him to say that when the first thing he says is that you're judged on 3 games at Tennessee.
And well, you know,
you get your ass beat every single time.
Well, Fulmer talked a tough talk.
Yeah.
He talked a tough talk. You're 100% right about that. Hey, and he said all the things that you want to hear. And, like, is it empty? Are they empty calories? Don't make a fat joke. Are they empty calories? Because he said all the right things. Tennessee's back to winning a championship. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to start kicking people. What was he saying? We're going to start taking a bite out of people's ass?
Yeah.
Is that what he said in the offseason? We're going to start taking a bite out of people's ass?
Yep.
Well, we ain't took a bite out of many people's ass. I guess we got Missouri. Although I guarantee you Missouri's like, man, how do we let that game get away? Missouri's looking at us like, how do we lose to that team? Eli Drinkwitz is like, can we get another shot at Missouri, please? Or can we get another shot at Tennessee, please? Please? We need to right that wrong. And I think if they played again, everyone would pick Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'd be right. But Fulmer said all the right stuff. He talked tough. But can he back it up? Will he back it up? He's sitting in a quarantine right now and just maybe thinking everything is okay.
He's done out of quarantine yet?
I think he gets out today or tomorrow.
Okay. Well.
Because, I mean, it was 10 or 14 days and it happened last week, right?
I didn't even know when he got it, to be honest.
Well, it was reported like at the beginning of last week, right? Yeah. Is it the beginning of last week or the end of the week?
I thought that was Rick Barnes.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't Fulmer and Barnes like a couple days apart? Fulmer might have been Friday and Barnes was like Tuesday. Maybe that's what it was.
Okay.
Which would put like, a 10-day quarantine if it was Friday, would be like today. But Fulmer talked tough and said all those things, right? Like, hey, we are judging coaches here off the 3 rivals. Well, guess what, guys? This coach hasn't done any good against those. We're beating a dead horse. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows the final scores, the total scores. The average margin of victory is over 20 points when it comes to those 3 rivals. It's probably closer to 30. Right? I mean, what's the closest you've come? The 22-point loss to Alabama last year? after the Scoop 6 fumble. That's the closest you've been to your three rivals, right?
Yeah.
I think it was 23 to Georgia this year. Is that right? 23?
Well, I mean, 22. We lost by 22 to Alabama, right, last year? Didn't we lose
by 22? Yeah, we did lose by 22 to Alabama. I was thinking about this year.
Okay, yeah, 23 this year. Yeah, Alabama beat you by more than 23. Yeah. Beat you by like 26, 29, something like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Florida's going to probably do the same thing.
I think the average is somewhere around 25, 26, somewhere around there for the three biggest opponents over the past few years.
It's disgusting.
But those are the three most important, but it's okay to lose to them by a lot.
So did you mean that, Phil Fulmer, or not? Because it's year three, and like throughout the test of time, through for as long as people have kept up with college football, everyone says, year three, year three, year three. And now, like, the couple pieces you had that you were, clinging to was a good recruiting class. And right now, you are, what, 13th in the country, and I believe I saw 5th in the SEC?
That's right.
You're behind Florida, which, by the way, we talk about Florida not even really recruiting. Like, Dan Mullen's not even really focused on recruiting. He's more of a developmental X's and O's, beat your ass type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're behind Georgia, of course, LSU, Alabama. You're behind those schools. So three of your yearly rivals, the three guys you're chasing, you're behind. And, like, you know, I would bet money Texas A&M will pass you in recruiting. They are currently two spots behind you with 8 less commitments. I would imagine they pass you.
Where's Auburn at in this list?
Auburn is.
I feel like they should be higher.
Where is Auburn at? This? They are. Whoa. They are 39th.
Oh, wow.
They have 12 commitments.
Okay.
But like only four stars.
Wow.
Of their 12 commitments, 5 four stars and 7 three stars. So, what the hell is Gus doing?
He's got like 3 weeks to get it together, I guess.
They might still pass you. I mean, I don't know what their board looks like. I don't know.
Maybe they could just have like a lot of signing day guys.
They might come and snag Dylan Brooks and Caden Salter both. Because I mean, like didn't Brooks wants to go to Auburn? And didn't we beat Auburn for Salter? Wasn't that the guy that came? Wasn't that the school it came down to? Maybe even Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
But you were clinging to that recruiting class, and now it's falling apart. And, like, there's no real signs of improvement. I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but, like, the alarm should have been going off the last, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or 5 weeks, depending on how you look at it. I'll say whenever the Arkansas game was. Others, including Hayden and Draven, said after the Alabama game, I'll beat you to it.
Mm-hmm.
We're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, crafted using their unique brew pure process to deliver you a surge of pure refreshment, 8 delicious flavors, a hard seltzer like no other, White Claw Hard Seltzer made pure. Pick you up a 12-pack from your local grocery store. Grab it out at a restaurant or a bar. Support the people who support us, and always drink responsibly. The good news, that was a pretty sad opening. The good news is that it is reported that Tennessee basketball may be adding a non-conference opponent to get a little bit of a scrimmage game in.
Oh, nice.
Soon. Tell you who it is after the break. We'll dive into last night's Monday Night Football game. We'll keep you up to date on anything else that happens. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Yeah, so I found that article you guys were talking about the it's on ESPN's behind their paywall. Adam Rittenberg wrote about the coaching carousel. He says if you've been paying attention, this year's coaching carousel is expected to be light. Most head coaches will be safe in this cycle, which I don't know if that's necessarily true.
And we've got a lot removed already for it to be light, I feel like.
Well, yes and no. Yes, in the sense of like, the season's not over, Hayden, but, like, it is also December.
Yeah, that's true.
So it depends on how you look at it. Like, I don't know what these ADs are thinking. Like, I don't know if they're like, hey, guys, we're 3 weeks, like, less than 3 weeks away from signing day. Usually we have our hire made. Because, I mean, like, what, Butch Jones and Jerry Pruitt were pretty much announced on December 7th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, early December. Yep.
I believe Butch Jones was December 7th, because I mean, I think I remember making Pearl Harbor jokes.
Come on.
Never see that one coming.
I mean, just a day in infamy. I mean, they're easy to. It was easy to make. Yeah. Just a Tennessee day in infamy. Yeah. I think like it was pretty much the same day. Now, maybe Pruitt got announced on the same day, or had his press conference the same day. But I'm pretty sure like December 7th was the date on both of those.
Talk about dropping the bomb.
Program for sure. Are you shaking your head? That's right.
Like, yeah, it was December 7th
when they hired Butch Jones.
Yeah,
I thought so. So when you look at it from that context, Hayden, yes. We do not have a lot that's already happened, but when you say, hey, there's still three games left in the year, and we already have two openings in the SEC. Anybody else getting fired? Is Harbaugh going to get fired? Jim Harbaugh, if you go to coacheshotseat.com, I like checking in on these, after every weekend of games. Jim Harbaugh, number one. Tom Herman, number two. Kevin Sumlin, number three. I'm not even paying attention to what's happening in Arizona. Why is Kevin Sumlin on the hot seat?
They're 0-3, pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah. They have not had a good start.
Kevin Sumlin got hired the same year that Pruitt did, right? He's year three as well, right?
Yeah. I think Butch and Sumlin got fired the same year.
Yeah. And Sumlin got the job, Arizona job, immediately, right? Mm-hmm. Same as Scott Frost and Jeremy Pruitt. That's your top five hot seats. Pruitt, Frost, Sumlin, Herman, Harbaugh. Do any of those guys get fired this year? One of those guys is getting fired, right?
Harbaugh should.
Harbaugh, I'll say Frost doesn't, because I think if you're Nebraska, your only hope of, But although, Harbaugh's the same way, Harbaugh and Frost, were the dream candidates.
Yep.
That got the job. That were supposed to save the program. And I've said it the same about Tom Herman. He was supposed to be a home run hire, too. He had his choice of, LSU and Texas. LSU was lined up to try to go get him, and they didn't. And he went to Texas. Everyone's home run, home run, home run. And, three of your four hottest seats are the guys that everyone thought was a home run hire. Harbaugh, Herman, Frost.
Yep.
But Herman's regretting that now. He'd have a national championship, probably.
I mean, I don't know if he would.
You think he would have got Burrow?
I mean, maybe, but would Herman have let Joe Brady call the offense, or would Herman try to have done
that's
it?
That's true. That's a good point.
Because I never knew what to do with Herman. I didn't know what to do with Herman when he was at Ohio State either, because, he was a very successful coordinator, but, he was with Urban Meyer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems at a certain point that I don't know if, assistant coaches, coordinators under elite coaches should be hired or not, because when I look at Herman, he was a elite offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He did okay at Houston, but he didn't build Houston. Houston was already there, and he did okay there. And obviously Jerry Pruitt, a coordinator under Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Now I would say Kirby Smart has Kirby Smart exceeded expectations, or is he kind of at the expectation? Because the numbers are always there, here's his record compared to Mark Richt's record, and they're pretty much identical.
Yeah, they are identical.
Yeah, he definitely hasn't overperformed expectations down there. They think with that recruiting classes they bring in that they should be in the SEC championship, winning it and getting to the playoff every year.
And I would say they had the one year where they were undefeated and almost won the national championship. Or they feel like they should have beaten Alabama and then Tua stole that championship away from them. So that was an overachievement, or that was hey, this is really successful. But since then, Kirby's been good, but I don't know if Kirby is doing anything at Georgia that anybody that's competent couldn't do.
Yep.
Just with that recruiting base and the way that everyone else in the SEC East was kind of in shambles. And then you saw what happened when Dan Mullen's there, and Dan Mullen's kind of got them on track, and now Florida has passed Georgia. Now if that happens next year, we'll see. But I don't know. I'm looking at hiring these elite assistant coaches. Now, in the past, Bob Stoops left Spurrier and went on and was an elite coach. So there has been successful people that have done that. But, when I look at Herman and I look at Pruitt being two of the top five, it makes me wonder. But then, like I said, three of those top four schools got their dream candidate, got their option number one. I would say Arizona was probably, Kevin Sumlin was probably their option number one, too. Now, Pruitt obviously wasn't. But I found that ESPN article you guys were talking about. Mm-hmm. He was talking about, you know, basically thinks most of these coaches will be safe. Now, I think that's a little premature to say at this point. Because if, I just feel like if you're at Michigan, you have seen enough. There's no assistant coaches you can fire at Michigan to make you feel like Harbaugh's going to change. You have already, like, done that song and dance. They're still on pace to play this week, or this year, right? Like, Michigan, Ohio State, they're still going to play, right?
Yeah.
If I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'm really trying to get the Rona to cancel that game, because that might be your death blow. Like, having Ryan Day and Justin Fields beat you by 40 points should be the final nail in the coffin. But Adam Rettenberg writes that some top assistant coaches are less likely to get a pass. The financial crunch of the pandemic and coach-friendly contracts will discourage most schools from making changes. Now, I don't know how much I agree with that, but there is a lot of money in these buyouts. We know that. But we have seen South Carolina and we have seen Vanderbilt say we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, let's dive in. Tennessee's the first team he talks about. The assistant coaches on the chopping block, he just put offensive staff. Good news for the defensive staff. You guys are safe. Brumbaugh, or whatever he says, the AMU has already been fired. We already paid $800,000 to have you go away, buddy. You weren't safe, but the rest of the defensive staff, you guys are cool. Offensive staff, you're on the chopping block. Head coach Jerry Pruitt's status is worth monitoring down the stretch, especially if Tennessee is motivated to make a run at Liberty's Hugh Freeze or at another established coach. But Pruitt's remaining guarantee, almost $13 million, following a two-year contract extension, makes it less more likely that Tennessee keeps him in 2021 and shakes up the staff. Then he goes on to talk about Jim Chaney. Says he's probably on the way out. What looked like a big-time hire for the Vols simply hasn't panned out. Tennessee ranks. Where do you guys want to guess Tennessee ranks nationally in scoring? Have you seen this already? Have you already read it?
I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to say over 100.
Yeah, 113th nationally in points scored.
Oof, jeez.
You want to guess where we come ranked in third down conversion percentage?
105th.
116th, even worse. What about in passing and yards per play?
104th.
105th.
Oh, wow. Close.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're better at passing and yards per play than I guess we are on third down percentage and total off, or point score. In a season where offensive production is up, the Vols are headed the other way. And not getting anywhere near the quarterback development needed to keep pace with Florida and Alabama. Which I do think that we also need to throw Georgia in there when you see what, what's his name? JT Daniels has looked like.
Jeez, why did they keep him on the bench that long? I don't know.
And an SEC assistant coach said, they're terrible on offense. It's brutal to watch. It's all about that one spot quarterback that's just so bad.
That checks out. That's how I feel watching the games. Brutal to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
Terrible.
Pruitt is close with offensive line coach Will Friend, while wide receivers coach T. Martin and running backs coach Jay Graham are both decorated former players of Tennessee. Another factor is the recent news that 8 football assistants were the only members of Tennessee's AD department to decline pay cuts. It's a really bad look, an energy source said. It's going to come up every time you lose in the next 3 or 4 years. Remember that time everybody was in a national pandemic and nobody took a pay cut? Well, don't worry. It's not going to come up the next 3 or 4 years because they're not going to be here another 3 or 4 years. I don't think firing Jim Chaney makes anybody happy. Or let me say that. Let me fix that because I think it would make some people happy. I don't think firing Jim Chaney or Chris Winkie solves any problems. I don't think that alleviates any of the pressure.
Yeah.
That is getting rid of Mike DeBoer and replacing him with Larry Scott. And it changed nothing, and he still sucked, and everyone was fired eventually. Like, nobody on that chopping block is going to save anything, right? Like, I don't, like, T. Martin and Jay Graham, like, you can't fire those guys. They should be able to have jobs at Tennessee as long as they want. I don't think the wide receivers have been a problem this year, nor do I think running backs have been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You add in the VFL status, you add in the pay cuts and doing the right thing. Like, those guys shouldn't be on the chopping block. Jay Graham should be safe. T. Martin should be safe. Now, Winkie and Chaney should both be gone. Will Friend should be gone. But, like, if you fire those three guys, I'm not saying, okay, well, let's get a reset for Pruitt because, you know, Chaney was his handpicked choice. It's one of those things we talked about, the coaching hot seats. It was one of those things that should have worked out. You hired the offensive coordinator from your biggest competition in the in the SEC at the time, Jim Chaney. And you did kind of set them back last year, but not enough to make you close the gap. I didn't see Philip Fulmer's name on this list, though. Should it be?
Probably.
It should be. Listen, when you have a GM, head coach, AD, whoever's in charge, you want them to admit when they're wrong. You want them to own up to their responsibilities, to say, hey, I messed up. I gave this guy an extension. It's not working out. Let me go and cut ties. Fulmer's not going to do that. He's going to continue to ride this until it completely tanks, and then I think he should be fired as well.
Like, it is, like, some people would say, Draven, that a bad decision is better than indecision. Like, just make a decision.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, like you said, I agree with that 100%. Leadership and the people you have in charge, you need to realize when something's not working and you need to, you know, cut the cancer out. You need to trim the fat, however you want to say it. You need to admit you were wrong and go ahead and fix things. Like, I'll give, you know, across my team's across sport comparison or across league comparison, I'll give John Robinson credit for that. You know, he gave Vic Beasley all that money and was like, you know what, just get out of here. You're cut.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you've seen the defensive line play better and, like, just the energy around the team be better. He didn't, like, just keep paying him and playing him just because of how much money they gave him. He's like, you know what, you would have nothing here. Now, they maybe should have done it, like, maybe a couple weeks earlier, but they did it. And they just ate the cost and signed they signed a 1-year contract for a big free agent and just like, you know what, this is a bad decision. You're cut. We're done. Now, like, this coaching staff has already proven they're not gonna do that because they keep throwing out the quarterback out there. So, like, they have just continued to double, triple, quadruple, quintuple, septuple, octuple down on their bad decision. And Philip Fulmer has a chance to admit he was wrong.
And he doesn't have to go down with them. He doesn't. He could pull himself away from this, go get himself coach, and save his reputation.
Because the same thing we said about Jay Graham and T. Martin, like, applies to Philip Fulmer a little bit. Yes. Like, in terms of, you're of all, we're going to try to protect you more than other coaches. Like, you are somebody here that we love, that we know you care about us. Like, we know you want this to be good. Like, you can't say that you know Jerry Pruitt wants to be good here at Tennessee. Like, we can't prove that, like, he actually is invested and cares. Like, do I think he wants to be a failure? No. Do I think it means anything to him to be a successful Tennessee coach? Probably not. Nah, I think he wants to be successful in his career, but I think he realizes, like, hey, I can go back. I could be a defensive coordinator at Alabama. I'll get another shot maybe down the line, or I'll still make a couple $1 million a year running a defense, and that's fine with me. I don't think it would bother him if he failed at Tennessee, other than, like, selfish career reasons.
Yeah.
Or, like, his pride. It wouldn't be because he failed Tennessee. Philip Fulmer wants to win for Tennessee. Now, do I think he wants to, like, be good for his ego, too? Yes, of course. But, like, I do think he wants to be the guy that gets Tennessee back.
Yep.
One way or the other. So we would extend him a little bit more leash, like you're saying, Draven. If he would just admit and say, hey, this was bad. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to go hire a new coach. I'm going to get this fixed. This is unacceptable. We have lost by, 80 points this year to our three biggest rivals. Oh, yeah, and we got our ass kicked by Kentucky.
Yep.
In case you needed another reason as to why this wasn't working out. We would probably let him hire the next coach. But silence is compliance, as they say. If Phil Fulmer doesn't make the move, to me, that is him. I will view that, and I think most people with a brain would view that as him rehiring Jeremy Pruitt. We are at the point now where it is on the line, 50-50. People in the industry, like, every article written about Tennessee, written about hot seat, says, well, there's still something left to be seen. Tennessee might make the move, but maybe not. Like, it's at least in the conversation. No one's saying Jerry Pruitt is unequivocally safe. Everyone is saying it is a decision to make, and there's still a couple games left. Let's wait and see. We all know what's going to happen these next couple games. You're going to get your ass beat by Florida. Most likely, Texas A&M is going to do the same. You might beat Vanderbilt, but who cares? Vanderbilt fired a coach that just went 3-3 against you. They didn't care about beating Tennessee. We shouldn't care at all about beating Vanderbilt.
Yep.
But at this point, bringing Jeremy Pruitt back for year four might as well be Philip Fulmer doubling down, saying, I'm rehiring this guy. I believe in him. Let's go. And at that point, Philip Fulmer would then go out with Jerry Pruitt when they get fired. Exactly. And like I said at the beginning of the show, they are 100% getting fired. Or Jerry Pruitt is 100% getting fired. Philip Fulmer can remove himself from that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Philip Fulmer could save his legacy as an AD by making a coaching change and getting the next coaching change right.
And yeah, I get Pruitt is his boy, but like...
I don't think Pruitt's his boy.
Well, I mean, they're close, obviously. There's some sort of thing
right
there.
You mean attached at the head just because he hired him, basically?
Right, yeah, and it was his first hire. But still, like you said, you said this yesterday. What does Pruitt do well right now? Like, what does he do well? What could you sit there and point at and say, he does that really well, that's something we could build on? There's nothing. Yeah, so Fulmer can't say it either, right? I mean, there's no way.
Well, Fulmer can look at other sports and claim that he's okay, like, there. Like, I mean, if I'm Fulmer, I'm like, hey, I kept Rick Barnes, and yeah, we might hate each other, and yeah, I almost ran Barnes to UCLA, but UCLA wouldn't pay him, but that basketball team's pretty good. Baseball looks pretty good, and yeah, I didn't hire either one of these guys, but, you know, I also let Carroll Lawson go to Duke, which... I don't know how many people are mad about that, but I always kind of wanted Carol Lawson to be our women's coach, to be honest. Nothing against Kelly. She's done nothing to make me upset. But I'm just saying, like, if I'm Fulmer, I'm trying to look at other things because, like you said, there's nothing on the football field that makes anybody feel good.
Nope.
Some people could point to recruiting, and like we talked about, the big news of the day, Terrence Lewis is gone. Silence is compliance. Bringing him back is doubling down and rehiring him, and Philip Fulmer would then join the crew of these guys are getting fired. Although, I think at that point, Tennessee might let him retire. Like a forced retirement type of thing.
Yeah.
Instead of firing Fulmer, a forced retirement. But that's where we currently stand, along with the latest bowl projections having us playing Tulsa in the Birmingham Bowl. So we got that.
Whoa.
You serious right now?
We got that.
Tulsa. We really going to get beat by the Green Wave. Crazy.
That would be Tulane.
Tulane's the Green Wave.
Oh, Tulsa.
Either one. It doesn't matter. Tulsa,
they're all
Tulane.
The same. See, that's how big of a problem it is.
They're the Golden Hurricanes,
yeah, they
I believe.
Are. Yeah.
Who would watch that game as a UT fan?
I believe Tulane was the only other team that went undefeated when we went undefeated, right? In 98?
Hmm.
I believe so.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I think they went undefeated that year. I think. Pretty sure. I would like to play Tulane. Settle 98 for one. Actually, no. Settle Winston for all.
I thought you were playing Tulsa.
No, I know. I'm saying I would like to play Tulane.
Okay.
To settle 98, but I actually don't because they'd probably beat us.
Both of them teams would beat us, for sure.
I don't know if Tulane's any good. Tulsa. Yeah, I'm sure they would beat us because we suck.
Tulsa's top 25.
I thought so.
12-0, yep.
Tulsa's top 25. Well, they were last week.
Oh, they would kick our ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, no mistake. I just said I don't know anything about Tulane. I don't know. I didn't know if Tulane was any good or not. So we got that to look forward to.
Would you even want to watch that game?
No!
Like, I'm just wondering what UT fans would actually sit there and watch that game.
I don't want to watch Tennessee, Florida.
Fair enough, yeah. Ooh-wee. What a time to be alive.
I want no part of Tulsa. Like I said, Tulane, if we want to settle 98, but they'd probably beat us, so I don't want to open up that wound. What a depressing just state of affairs. The state of the union here, just depressing. It's brutal.
Yeah, it is. Just like our offense.
It's ranked 118th in the country.
And there's not even, how many teams is there this year total?
There's
less teams. 129.
Yeah, there's
less
as many as usual. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. You can get your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. so you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. Go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. This generous risk-free bet is just the beginning. They offer all types of fun boosts. Same game parlay refunds, up to $10, I believe. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS so you know that we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code TALKSPORTS. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. I came up short on three of those same game parlays last night. I was very angry. I'll take that back. I wasn't angry. It was just one of those feelings like you're watching, but you just know it's not going to happen. Yeah. I hit the hardest part of a big one. I had one that was only $10, but to win $3,500. It was a three-teamer, Draven. A three-team same game parlay. First touchdown, David Moore. Check. Chris Carson, touchdown, check. All I needed was a Carson Wentz quarterback draw or a quarterback sneak for a touchdown. At the end of the first half, they get down to the goal line. There was that brief moment where he pump faked that I thought he was going to take off. And they threw a touchdown to Dallas Goedert, which then opened up another same game parlay that I had that was only a 10 to win 1,000, but it was three teams. And it was a Dallas Goedert touchdown, check. A David Moore touchdown, check. And Tyler Lockett. And Russell Wilson wouldn't throw the damn ball to Tyler Lockett. I'm like, throw the ball to Tyler Lockett, please. But the same game parlays.
They're fun.
They're fun. They're fun. That's my favorite part of FanDuel Sportsbook. So like I said, go download the app. You got some rating news for us, Draven? Yeah. America's team.
America's team.
The Washington football team. America's team. Everybody tuned in to watch Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, the classic matchup of 3-7 Dallas, 3-7 Washington. Doesn't get much better than that. That has been the highest rated NFL game.
Doesn't get much better than that. What do you mean it doesn't get much better than that? It gets a lot better than that.
Oh, it's the highest rated game, John. 30.33 million viewers.
Do you think it has something to do with the whole Cowboys and Indian thing? Because when I was a kid, I always thought of it as a Cowboys and Indian thing.
Not the Indians anymore, though.
Well, I know, but back in the day it used to be. That's what I always thought of whenever I would see the highlights. Cowboys and Indians.
So you're telling me that's why it's been the highest? No, it's because the Cowboys bring in viewers.
I was wondering if that's why it was such a big rivalry, though, is what I'm saying.
Probably.
It seemed like natural rivals. As a kid, I always thought it was a natural rival. I was like five or six and like, you know, seeing highlights of them.
I could see that. Interesting, isn't it?
I mean, where are the Lions and Texans coming at? Does that say up there?
Yeah, it does. They had 23.389 million viewers.
I think it's more just like be on Thanksgiving when everyone's off work and like everyone's around the TV.
Yeah.
And if you're in that late slot, that mid-afternoon slot's perfect because it's 1 o'clock on the West Coast, so people might be getting together to eat. Most people here, I don't know what time you guys eat at Thanksgiving, but we ate at like 3. Mm. Or maybe it was 2. I can't remember. But it was like you're eating and like hanging out. They're perfectly in time for that game, so it's like a perfect slot. And the Cowboys are a big brand, and, you know, people just wanted to laugh at the NFC East, you know?
Just so get this together. Doesn't surprise you any?
I mean, again, I think it's just the perfect storm of, like, every other game that's, like, primetime, every other game that's by itself of no competition is at night on a work night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's Sunday night, like, people work on Monday. Thursday night, obviously people work on Friday. So, like, it doesn't surprise me that a game in the middle of the day, perfectly, only game on when nobody has to work the next day, or at least doesn't have to work, you know, at least it's not a night game. That doesn't surprise me. But also, like, I don't want to downplay how big of a brand the Washington football team is. They're a huge brand.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Something about that FC on their helmet.
Nation's capital.
That's true. Nation's capital.
Ugh. Hate that team.
And whenever you get to watch Andy Dalton and watch that fake, 30 million people saw that fake punt.
Yeah, that's literally what I was thinking. 30 million people got to watch that embarrassment of a performance.
I mean, I do think that's why Matt Patricia got fired, though.
A lot of people watch it. You don't think Thanksgiving had to do with it a little bit? They were like, let's wait till after the holidays.
Did you not see that head coach? Did you not see the owner, though, in the box with her hands in her head? Like, just so embarrassed. Like, if they had a good performance, he probably wouldn't have got fired, but they got destroyed and embarrassed. Same as like Derek Mason. If he gets beat 41-0 by Missouri and no one's paying attention, he might have survived. But when everyone's watching because of the kicker, That's when it's bad. Same for Jeremy Pruitt. Like, hey, everyone's going to be watching CBS. Like, you can't hide at noon on the SEC network. This isn't a 4 o'clock SEC network game. This isn't an SEC alternate channel. You're on primetime, baby, CBS. And a lot of the country probably still sees Tennessee-Florida as a rivalry because they remember the 90s. Even though you had the Florida player with the comments of, Tennessee's never really had a team since I've been here.
Oh, yeah, I hated that.
It's true, though.
It is.
No sense of being mad about it. But I would imagine your boy Jarrah was a lot more angry at that fake punt since it was on Thanksgiving when 30 million people were watching than it would have been if it was just in a regular Sunday 1 o'clock game. Granted, the Cowboys don't play many of those. But still.
Yeah, that's got to be rough.
You got your chest beat out over being the most watched team. You guys got your ass kicked. Why?
I know.
Why are you happy?
I gotta get excited about something.
I wouldn't be excited about people watching. I'd be upset. I'd be like, "Hey, turn the channel. Don't watch this, please."
It's not gonna stop. Ravens, Cowboys. That'll be probably the second most watched game this year in the NFL.
I don't know about that.
On a Tuesday, Tuesday night.
What time is it on Tuesday? It's Wednesday. It's a Wednesday
at 3:40.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday at 3:40.
I was talking about Dallas. Baltimore, not Pittsburgh. Baltimore.
Oh,
this Wednesday. Yeah, Dallas. And Baltimore.
Dallas got moved to Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
How about Wednesday night football? You guys excited about that? Or Wednesday afternoon? It's not even night time.
Yeah, it'll be nice. Just
wild.
You know, by the time you get off work, it'll be halftime, and I don't expect that to be much of a fun game, though. That won't be much.
Yeah,
of a
game. It's gonna be sloppy.
Yeah. Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.